spirit rain, falling like a flood, break upon my praise as I sing of your love. Holy Spirit, fire, burn within my soul as I call.
God, we bless you guys this morning. First, I want to say thank you guys for having us here today, and thank you to Pastor Armin and your family and your church to invite us. We really appreciate being here, and we're excited to be here today. I also want to say happy Father's Day to all of you fathers in the room. My wife and I, we don't have any children yet, but by God's grace and by faith, we will have children one day. So happy Father's Day to us in the future. But I want to say again, God is a good God. God is also a good Father. Amen. Now, when you hear that statement, some people might feel that it's more true than others. It depends on really what your relationship with your father was like when you were a child. I mean, some of us, we say Happy Father's Day, or we think of our father and remember a good man. A man who provided, a man who cared for us, a man who did great things for the family. And we have good memories and warm memories of a father. Others, we maybe don't have so good memories. Maybe our relationship with our father wasn't so strong. Oftentimes, in the beginning of our relationship with God, we think of God in terms of our relationship with our our natural father. If we had a good relationship, we kind of transpose that on God. If we have a bad relationship, we also kind of transpose that on God. For me, I want to share with you guys my personal testimony so you get to know a little bit about my background. Now, my childhood was not a happy childhood, and many years ago, it would be very hard for me to even say Happy Father's Day or I love you to my father in the natural, because it was not a good relationship. To be very honest and transparent, my earliest memories of my life were very traumatic. I remember as a small boy, maybe 3 years old, 3 or 4 years old, walking into the house one day. My mother and father were fighting. There was a lot of violence in my house. I just opened the door and I see my mother and my father fighting physically. My mother is pregnant, maybe I don't know how many months, but she's got a large tummy. My father is punching her in the face as she falls to the ground. He's kicking her in the stomach. And I remember seeing a lot of violence and blood. Another memory I have of my father was my father, my mother and I were sitting on a bed and we are crying in a dark room. My father sitting on the chair on the end of the bed with a pistol held to us in one hand and a beer bottle in the other. My earliest memories of my father were not good, and this caused a lot of fear in my life and a lot of brokenness. Later on, my family eventually broke. My family kind of separated and went different directions. As many families here in the U.S. sometimes happen. I went on to make very poor choices in my life. Before I was 21, I was a suicidal alcoholic. I was involved in martial arts. It was kind of an idol in my life. I was chasing girls, party scene, all of those things. But one day in 2001, I kind of washed up on the shores of the church. I really felt so broken. I was really washed up on the shores of the church. And I heard this preacher talking about God, God the Father, talking about Jesus the Christ. And I heard the story. I didn't know. I just remember walking into the church. These people were singing worship songs like we did this morning. And they had their hands raised in the sky and they're singing to Jesus. And I thought, these people are crazy. These people are out of their mind. But something kept drawing me back. It was the Word of God. The Word of God kept drawing me back. I want to hear more. What's this preacher talking about? Who's this God he's talking about? He would share about his own personal story of being an atheist for 7 years, things that supernatural experiences he had that brought him into the kingdom of God. And at one night, I remember sitting there second or third time I'm visiting the church, and all of a sudden, I didn't hear his words. I just felt the presence of God. I felt the presence of God filling the church from the ceiling coming into the room. It was an incredible experience. And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. The Father spoke to my heart through His Holy Spirit. And He said, Anthony, you are my son, and I am your father. I love you. He said, give up three things in your life. Give up the girls, give up the martial arts, give up the alcohol. These three things were idols in my life. Give me a life and I'll show you what I can do with it. At this point, I'm crying. The tears are coming down my face. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, God is real. God is real. Jesus is real. And I went home. I was, again, an alcoholic. I took all the bottles of alcohol, Bacardi 151, vodka, whatever I had in my cupboards. I poured everything down the drain. The addiction was immediately broken in my life. It was an incredible experience, but it led to many more miraculous things in my life. Since then, God has brought me around the world. We've had the opportunity to travel and preach in countries such as Haiti, India, China, Philippines, Korea, so many different places. We've been able to travel and minister by the grace of God because He's a good Father and He keeps His word. He said, give me your life and I'll show you what I can do with it. And God has done incredible things since that day. My relationship with my natural father, again, was not so good. I hated my father for a season of my life because of the hurt and the anguish that was caused, the distress. But by the grace of God, in later years in my Christian life and in my walk with God, God has healed my relationship even with my earthly father. That today I can send him a text message even before coming to the church and say, I wish you a happy Father's Day. I love you. God bless you. And he has restored our relationship so much that my father even came from his living in Seattle. He traveled down to California and was even at our wedding in 2011, which if you know how broken our family was, that's a miracle in itself. So I had to overcome many fears in my life. I had to overcome many things to learn about this relationship with a good father, to believe God is a good father, to believe him at his word. So today, I want to talk to you guys about faith. And faith that overcomes any storm. Again, I've been through so many storms and so many challenges in my life. I got three points, three thoughts that I was kind of thinking about as I prepared and I prayed, God, what is it you want to speak to this body at His House Ministries? So by faith, I just received the word and began to prepare. Now, the three thoughts I'm going to talk to you about are one, the perfect response. The perfect response. Two, how God feels about faith. And three, it's possible. It's possible to grow in faith, to grow in love, to grow in God. So the perfect response, if you guys have a Bible, open it up to the book of Mark chapter 4, verse 35. I'm going to go ahead and read this here. And I'm reading out of the NIV translation, just happens to be what I like to study. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. I just want to break down a couple of thoughts as I look at this passage of Scripture. In the beginning of this passage, Jesus, the Son of God, said, let us go to the other side. Let us go to the other side. The thing we need to remember is if Jesus said it, His word is true. He's going to do it. Let us go to the other side. We should know by now when He says that He means it. Again, a furious squall, a huge storm, a crazy storm comes and it's pushing the boat over. The wind, the waves, the rain. And the disciples are freaking out in the boat. Oh my gosh, we're going to die. We're going to die. What's Jesus doing? He's relaxed. He's peaceful. Sleeping on a cushion. He said, don't you care if we die? It's interesting. You know, these guys were not like brand new to sea, to being fishermen. You know, these guys were experienced professionals. These guys had been out at sea many times. They'd seen some crazy storms. But in this storm, it was so bad that they were afraid they're going to lose their life. And Jesus wasn't shaken. He was resting. He was relaxed. You know, Jesus was so at peace and so at rest that no circumstance could shake him. God actually requires that of all of us, that we would all be so at peace and so at rest in the middle of our circumstances. I don't know what circumstances you guys are going through today. We all go through challenges. To give you an idea, I mean, my wife and I recently in February, we stepped out by faith into the ministry. I was having a good, decent job. We took a step of faith, and we've been living by faith since February. Now, in that, it can be quite a challenge because we are believing God, in a sense, for the financial resources to continue doing His work. He spoke to us, I want you to step out. He spoke to us, I want you to go after the calling. And as we go out, it can be very scary, especially if you're a person who likes to have, stability and you can kind of rely on those finances and things coming in from your job. So it can be kind of scary. There's a lot of different challenges. I don't know what challenges you guys are going through in your life. Maybe it's difficulty at home in the family. Maybe it's difficulty at work. Could be financial. Maybe it's medical. I spoke to a family who we were ministering at a church in Rancho Cordova recently, and she was told by the doctors that she had like 6 months to live, and she had a devastating medical disability. So I don't know what kind of challenges you're going through, but what God is looking for is our response, the response in our hearts. One of my friends, he said, you know, it's funny that so many Christians walk around with so much anxiety and fear. And if they come to Jesus with the anxiety and the fear that they have in their hearts, Jesus is going to look at them and say, I don't even know you. I don't even know what that is. I didn't give that to you. We're walking around with things, anxiety and fear and pressure that God never even gave us. You know, it's easy for us to get into the presence of God. We'll worship. And probably like me, I mean, I imagine as you're entering into the presence of God and you're beginning to engage with God, you sense the presence of God. You sense the peace of God and you feel safe. I love the presence of God. I love to be in His presence. I love that feeling of safety and security, knowing my Father, having communion with Him. It's easy to do that on Sunday morning. It's easy to do that in prayer. It's easy to do that when we're in worship. But how are we responding the rest of the week? I was thinking about this, even as I'm going through this kind of scriptures, how am I doing? I'm not doing so hot sometimes. Things like shake a little bit, and I'm freaking out. I'm talking to my wife. Hey, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about this situation? How are we going to pay this bill? How are we going to get from here to India? How are we going to do all these different things? Sometimes we freak out. But the response God is looking for us in us is that we're always at peace and at rest in His presence. He said to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you have no faith? Do you have no faith? Jesus actually required them to have faith. I was looking through the scriptures, and it's interesting. At what points does Jesus actually get upset? At what points does He actually get angry? And it was almost, not every single time, but probably about 80 to 90% of the time, if you go through the scriptures, Jesus is really upset when people don't have faith, when they don't believe Him, when they don't trust Him. That's where it upsets Him. I was thinking about the scripture too in a practical sense, right? So sometimes we look at the scripture and we think, oh wow, it seems like pretty incredible. Jesus is walking on water. Jesus is doing miracles. He's healing people. But do these things really happen today? I was just thinking about that. Like a lot of people, they maybe never experienced those things. Does it really happen today or is it just a story? Well, I want to tell you that God is true. His word is true. But the Bible didn't stop just because it was written like 2,000 years ago. The faith in the Bible, the faith that God imparts to us is still real. It's still true today. I was thinking about one of the first things that I did in terms of ministry. I mean, I've tried many things in ministry as I was kind of growing up in the Lord, and I'm still growing. I'm still developing. But there was a season of time where I was going with friends to Cesar Chavez Plaza. Have any of you guys ever been there? Cesar Chavez Plaza, it's a park in downtown Sacramento, right next to the library. Well, what we used to do is, I worked at Starbucks for a season of my life, about 3 years, and I would take these pastries and coffee and things that they would give after closing hours, and my friends and I said, why don't we do something with these pastries? So we started going on Saturday mornings to downtown, spending time with homeless people. And we would bring these pastries and coffee. We did it for, I don't know, maybe it was about a year, could have been a year and a half or so. But there was one day I remember where we got out there, we had these pastries, and it's raining. And I'm thinking, what are we going to do? There's like this kind of storm brewing. It's raining. There's about four or five of us. What are we going to do? So we talked about it. Should we go back home? You know, I don't want to get wet. You know, you guys want to get wet? Not really. They said, you know what? Let's just go forward. Let's just do what we came here for. Let's just worship God and believe that he can stop the rain. Kind of a crazy thought. So we got out into the middle of the park, literally the middle of the park. We're standing there. Got four or five of us, a couple ladies, a couple guys. Some of my friends used to worship with flags, and they would dance as they worshiped the Lord, having a good time. And we're literally in the rain. And we start praying. We're just pressing in. God, stop this rain. God, we're here for your purpose. God, we want to reach these people. Funny thing, I kid you not, the rain stops. Rain stops. The clouds open up. And you see this kind of ray of sunlight come down on us. It was incredible. It was incredible. But that's not where the story ends. There's a guy who's standing here. There's a group of homeless people, and they're standing by the wall, and they're kind of under these kind of areas where they could stay dry, about this much, about a foot and a half, underneath the edge of this building, trying to stay dry. They're watching us. This guy comes up to us, and he says, do you guys know what happened? What are you talking about? Do you know what happened? I saw you guys out here praying and worshiping. We're thinking you guys are kind of weird, you know? And all of a sudden, when you guys were praying, the rain stopped, and I looked up, and the clouds open, and I saw light come down, shining on you guys in the middle of the park. What is this? We said, we're Christians. We believe in Jesus, and we serve a very powerful God. We began to share with him the gospel, and this guy gives his life to Jesus right there on the spot. Amen? Hallelujah. It was incredible. It was incredible. I don't know exactly what happened, but I saw him go off with one of my friends. They have a little kind of a water fountain area. And he comes back. His hair is all wet. And I'm thinking, I think he just got baptized. You know, so I'm like, these guys are having fun over here. Well, I go over to another, this group of people that are standing under the wall. And I'm asking, I don't know. I never really operated in these gifts of healing and things yet. I was kind of discovering who I am in Christ, discovering the gifts. And I start talking to these people. I said, does anybody here need healing? I was actually terrified to ask that question, thinking, one, I'm going to look like a fool. Two, if they don't get healed, I'm really going to look bad. So, but I felt prompted, like, just ask them. So I'm talking to them, anybody here need healing? And one of the ladies, she kind of raised her hand. She comes up and she says, yeah, I need healing. She says, I actually just got released from the hospital like 3 days ago. I had a very severe pneumonia. I've got problems, respiratory problems, and I can't breathe. I didn't even know how to pray for healing. I just felt like we got to go after it. So I said, okay, well, just take my hand. We're going to pray. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke this respiratory problem. I rebuke this breathing issue. And all of a sudden, I said, she's kind of, I didn't tell her to test it out. I didn't know about some of the things I know now, you know, to kind of test the healing out and get them to operate in faith. But she starts kind of checking out her body, and she's, I can breathe. I can breathe. She goes, she tells her husband, I guess they're both homeless, you know, she's telling the husband, then she's running around the park, telling all the people in the park, these guys just came, these guys are Christians, they just prayed for us, they prayed for me, and I got healed. It was amazing. So the stories we read in the Bible are not just distant stories. Sometimes they seem a little bland, a little plain, maybe a little boring because it's just words on a page. But the thing is, you can access these miracles by faith, if you believe, if you believe. Now, my second point is, how does God feel about faith? How does God feel about faith? I want you guys to open up your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and we're going to go towards the end of 10 through 11. You know, I used to preach with my iPad. I actually started preaching with my iPad a lot. I like these electronic gadgets they have nowadays. And then I realized, though, that it's harder for me to find scripture. So I went back to my Bible. Started using my Bible when I'm preaching. The problem is all my pages are falling out. So when I kind of tug too hard, then everything starts coming out. You know, it's like this thing is something else. But anyway, it's good to get into the Word. And I like the paper Bible because it just helps me remember the words. I can remember where I wrote notes and highlighted things. That's just a random thought, you know, so. Anyway, the book of Hebrews, I'm going to look at three passages. First, we're going to look at, quickly, Hebrews 10, verses 35 through 39. Hebrews 10, verses 35 through 39. We're talking about how does God feel about faith. It says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who believe and are saved. Those who believe and are saved. Two thoughts as I was looking through this passage. Just two thoughts to highlight it right from the scripture. God says, but my righteous one will live by faith. Makes me think of Abraham. We know Abraham was the father of faith. It says Abraham believed God and it was accredited to him as righteousness. What is righteousness? What is righteous? Righteous means that we are in right standing with God. How do we get in right standing with God? Well, really, there's only one way, Jesus, but it's faith in Jesus that puts us in right standing with God. What is faith? Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's interesting. You know, I was thinking about the difference between the Greek thought and Hebrew thought. Greek thought introduced a lot of logic and good things into the world, but there's two primary differences if you kind of break it down. Greek thought says, if I work really hard, if I get a good education, and I study hard enough that I can go out there and get a good job, or I can go out there and take what I've learned and do something, and things will begin to happen in my life. Now, biblical Hebrew thought is kind of different. Biblical Hebrew thought says, first seek God. First seek the face of God and hear from God. If you seek God and you hear from God, then he will speak. And if you act on what he says, then miracles will happen. So faith is something that's pretty incredible. I like to think of faith. I mean, the Bible also says that faith without works is dead. You know, if we're truly certain, we'll take action in what we believe. I like to think of faith as belief in action. I got one more verse I want to look at, and then we're going to move on. But the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes from him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because if anyone comes to him, he must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So, I recently had an opportunity to practice faith, to step out in faith with my wife. I share with you guys how we stepped out of our job, kind of moving towards the ministry and the calling as we're pursuing God, trying to find out what his purpose is in our life. So it was funny because while I was still working back in, I think it was February, for this pretty good company, decent job, I step out, and before that, someone had invited us, I want you guys to go to China. I said, China? I said, we're not called to China. We're called to India. I'm thinking, like, why would we go to China? So I start praying, and I just simply ask God, God, do you want us to go to China? Yes. Are you serious? Do you want us to go to China? Yes. So I start praying like 4, 5, 6 more times. You want us to go to China? Yes. Do you want us to go to China? Yes, yes, yes. Every time the answer is yes. So, okay, fine. You want us to go, we'll go. Now, at the time that I said yes, I responded to the person who invited us. We had good job. We had good income. We could make the trip no problem. It's pretty easy. But after I stepped out, now it's funny because now I got to believe God and I've got to work towards obeying him so that we have enough resources and provision to take care of ourselves. And then also I got to believe for an extra $4,000 so we can both go to China. So several months go by. It's maybe like 4 or 6 months. And we're preparing for this trip. And we did some like small fundraisers for the trip. And we didn't really earn hardly anything. It was less than about $1,000. It was something. But we still need quite a bit. I mean, more than $3,000 we needed. Now, the thing is that we both were going to China. And we had to like I mean, this was first time for us. I usually, if I go to a missionary trip, it's myself only. But this time I'm believing for my wife. So it's kind of another step of faith and a stretch of faith for me. So we talked about it. I said, all right, do you believe we're supposed to go? Yeah, I think we're supposed to go. Well, now months and months and months are going by. We get down to the very last week and we still don't have the money. But God spoke to us. We have to go. So the question is, are we going to back out or are we going to move forward and just trust God? So I said, we're going to just trust God. Let's just trust God. So 1 week left. We need $3,200, something along those lines. And it's coming up to the very last weekend. We're leaving Monday morning. I start praying, okay, God, this is getting serious. We need the money to go if you want us to go. Plane tickets already purchased. How are we going to do this trip? You know, we're going to owe money back. We don't want to go into debt. We pray, God, don't let us go into debt to go and serve you, Lord. We don't want that. And so Thursday, the Lord tells me, go to this prayer meeting in Loomis, California. I go to the prayer meeting, and it was incredible. So many things happened that night. But ultimately, all of a sudden, there's about 200-300 people here in this prayer meeting. And they start talking about missions. They start talking about giving. There's a young man who's going back to England. He's being sent back to England. He was here for a few months. And then I asked the leaders, can you guys pray for us? We just want prayer because we're going to China on Monday. So as they're praying for us, all of a sudden, we come out and we're standing out here in the middle of the prayer meeting, and people start to give spontaneously. People start sharing testimonies of how they came with needs that night. Said, we have a little bit of money in our purse and in our wallets, but we have a need. But God spoke to us. We're supposed to give. And they're sharing these testimonies from the pulpit or from the microphone. Someone else gets up and he shares a testimony and says, he stepped out by faith about 3 years ago to go into full-time ministry. And they're really going through some financial struggles, but the ministry is just booming. It's incredible. Now, this guy shares a story and says, hey, I needed like $400 for my car payment. He is driving a nice car still, like Audi. And he's like, need $400. Someone actually blessed him that week with $400. Said, this is for you. I don't know what you need it for. And so as soon as he gets it, within an hour, the Lord speaks to him and says, that money is not for you. Give it to this person. They have a need. He's looking at the money. Okay, Lord, this is not my money. So he goes and gives it to the next person. And this person is incredibly blessed. About 24 hours later, someone comes to him and hands him an envelope, $10,000. $10,000, because he's operating in faith and obedience. So they're sharing these testimonies, and we're in this prayer meeting. I'm standing here. There's a guy from England. We kind of like just praying with our hands out, and I'm thinking, like, not sure what's going to happen because this has never happened to me before. And people start to come, and they start putting money in my hand. First, they start putting change in my hand, and I feel people putting money in my pockets, and I'm thinking, well, okay, this is something different, you know, and I'm a little bit shy, like a little bit embarrassed by this thing, but I'm like, we're believing God, and we got to get to China somehow because he said to go. People take the change out of my pocket, and they start putting, put a cup in my hand, and start putting money and the change inside the cup. The cup is getting heavy and people are stuffing it. All of a sudden, the cup gets taken out of my hand and people put a bigger container in my hand. I'm like, oh, this is getting amazing, you know? And all of a sudden, I'm feeling this cup getting filled and filled and filled with cash to where it's like getting heavy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you are incredible. You're providing. So they take the money and they split it up between me and this young man named Jacob. And he's going to England. I'm going to China. Now, it's funny because all these testimonies just happened. Within, actually not even an hour, within 15 minutes, a young lady comes up to me and she says, I know you from somewhere. I said, I know where you know me from. We spoke at your church last year, and I remember praying for you. And she said, yes. I said, how are you? She said, I'm good. The Holy Spirit prompts me in my spirit and says, you need to pray for her. I said, can I pray for you? Anything I can pray for? No, I'm good. Everything's fine. Holy Spirit said, pray for her. I said, no, really. I took her hand. I said, can I please pray for you? I just want to bless you. I insist. She said, okay. I start praying for her and the tears start streaming down her face. She begins to cry. And she says, she's losing her place. She's losing her place to live. And she's got to be out by the first. She's got nowhere to go. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, the first thought I prayed to the Lord, what should we do? What can we do to help her? I thought, should I bring her home with Anu and me? I just prayed inside and the Lord said, no. No, do not bring her home. I said, okay, what do we do? I looked down at the cash in my hand. I said, oh, no. God said, oh, yes. I said, oh, okay, Lord. I said, listen, this is for you. This is from God. He wants to provide for you and bless you. She began to weep, just crying, crying, weeping, because she's feeling the provision and the love of God. Now, it's funny for us because now we still need like $3,000. We're back in the same boat and we're leaving Monday. I'm like, how are we going to do this trip? You know, so this morning, I get a text message from my pastor, who is also my mentor. He says, hey, someone has given an anonymous donation to your trip for China for $1,400. I said, praise God, praise God. And I'm thinking, oh, that's a lot of money, but we still need a lot of money more. You know, we still need a lot more. How are we going to do this? So I just, okay, just keep praying. Now, God tells me, Saturday night, go to Saturday night service. It's okay. I was talking to a brother, I think it was Tigran. He called me up. He's a good friend of mine also. And he said, hey, how's it going for the trip? You know, where are you guys at? I said, okay, well, we still need X amount of dollars, but don't worry. God told me to go to church on Saturday night, so I got a feeling someone's going to bless us. So we get there Saturday night, and the pastor comes right up to me during the worship, says, hey, somebody just gave $200 for your trip. I said, wow, praise God. I'm thinking, man, only $200. But at the same time, I was so grateful that people lovingly gave by faith. And so now we're down to the last minute. Sunday morning, we're leaving Monday. I mean, we got the plane tickets. We're supposed to be leaving. And my wife is like, kind of, I'm not going to go. If, you know, if we're not going to have the money to pay for the entire trip, then I'm not going to go. I said, okay, what are you talking about? You're not going to go. We agreed. If you don't go, I'm not going. She said, what are you talking about? We start arguing about it. Okay, fine, I'll go. But I said, listen, let's just believe God. So get the suitcases out. So we get the suitcases out. We put the suitcases on the living room floor. Two suitcases. And I said, you know what? By faith, let's just start packing the bags. By faith, just start packing the bags. We start packing the bags, and we get a text message. Actually, someone texts my wife's phone number, someone totally unexpected, and they ask her the question, how much more do you guys need for your trip? We text back, we need $1,550. They text back, done. Done. They wrote a check to the church that morning. 100% the trip was paid, $4,000. $4,000. So God, he requires us to step out in faith. Now, he requires us to step out in faith when it looks impossible, when it looks like we can't possibly do it. Because why? We can't. You can't possibly do it on your own. I can't possibly do it on our own. But God is able if you believe him, if you trust him. Now, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith without works is dead. So you've got to seek God. You've got to seek the face of God. You've got to know his voice. How do you know God's voice? How do you get to know? You spend time with him. It's not hard. You just spend time with God. As you're praying, as you're reading the word, you'll get to hear his voice. You'll start to recognize. I saw a great demonstration once about a young girl. A pastor brought up a little girl. He brought up on the other side of the stage her father, and then had many other men come and stand on this side of the stage. Now, about six guys, they go through the rows and the line of men, and each one says, I think her name was, say, Gabriella. They say, Gabriella, this is Daddy. Gabriella, this is Daddy. Gabriella, this is Daddy. You know, going down the line. And they asked her, which one was your father? She said, without hesitation, number two. Number two. How do you know? How do you know that's your father? I know my father's voice. I spend time with him. That's my dad. So we got to get to know the voice of God. Amen? Amen? So I want to say that it's possible. It's possible to get faith. Everybody say, it's possible.
It's possible.
To get faith. Amen. But how do we get it? How do we get faith? Turn to the book of Mark chapter 9, verse 23. All things, it says, all things are possible for him who believes. You got to believe. You got to believe that God is good. You got to believe that God loves you. You got to believe that God cares about you. You got to believe. You got to choose to believe God. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true. Just put it as a default in your heart. No matter what happens, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God. The circumstances don't look right. I'm going to believe God. It's interesting. We go back to the story in the boat. How did Jesus pray? How did Jesus pray when he was in the boat and all the wind and the storms are coming, the rain is coming down. He finally gets up. He doesn't go and beg God. He doesn't say, oh God, please, please, will you stop the storm? He commands it. He takes authority and he commands, peace, be still. Peace, be still. We got to get to the point where we trust in God so much that we will stand in front of storms, we will stand in front of circumstances, and we will look the circumstances dead in the eye, and we will speak to those circumstances the opposite of what we see. I will be healthy in the name of Jesus. You will be well in the name of Jesus. I had some back problems for a while. I said, back be healed. I would look in the mirror many days a week, and I would look in the mirror and say, back be healed. Back be healed. Back be healed. Just speaking to that thing. Take authority. Speak to that thing. And all of a sudden, I don't have the same back problems I used to have. I didn't even know when it happened, except I was thinking about it last week and realized, man, my back is feeling good. I don't have the same problems what I used to have. So too many Christians are out there praying, oh, dear God, if you're able to do this, if you're willing to do this. Yeah, he's able. Yeah, he's willing. But he gave you the power to pray. He gave you the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's possible. But you got to believe. All things are possible to him who believes. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You got to read the word. And feed your spirit. This is how you get faith. Read the word. Spend time in the word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time praying and talking to the Father. You know, when I started reading, I mean, I was probably, how old are you?
17.
I got saved a little bit older than I was 21 years old. Okay. When I first started praying, I was kind of nervous about it because I was sometimes scared, don't know how to pray. But I remember going to these prayer meetings at the church early morning, and I would actually, after the prayer meeting, I would go to Starbucks with my Bible, and I would just read the Bible. And you know, at first, I could only read the Bible maybe like 5 minutes. I was like, okay, it's kind of interesting. Nah, I'm done. It's getting hard to get past 5 minutes. But what I did was, I didn't even do it on purpose at first, just because I was going to a prayer meeting twice a week. Every morning after the prayer meeting, I had it in my schedule. I just go to Starbucks and read the Bible. So I open up the Bible the next time, and I notice, okay, 10 minutes. Next time, 15 minutes. About a month later, I'm reading the Bible 30 minutes every time I'm reading the Bible. A month later, I'm reading the Bible for an hour. A few months later, I was in Starbucks on average for 4 hours. The time was flying by. It was easy to read. It wasn't boring. I was understanding. I was beginning to receive from the Word of God, and my life was being transformed just by going and spending the time consistently with God. Same thing happened to me in prayer. For a season of my life, when I was a young man, I was in college at the time, and I had a lot of free time, I would go to this place called the House of Prayer in Roseville. And it was a big thing. A lot of people would go there to spend time in the presence of God. This is where I learned to practice the presence of God. And as I would sit there in the presence of God, I would start to pray. Same thing happened. 5 minutes. Maybe 5 minutes. Say, okay, I got nothing else to say now. Thank you, God. I'm done. Okay, I come back the next day. Try to pray. Okay, maybe 10 minutes. Oh, okay, okay. Can't really pray more. I'm bored now. I don't understand. Eventually, over time, spending time, practicing the presence of God, spending time in prayer, I would literally go there. I learned to enjoy God as opposed to work for his love. I just learned to enjoy and receive from him. I would spend 4 hours to 6 hours in the presence of God, just receiving from him, 4 to 6 hours, easily. So what I'm saying to you is this, if you need to get faith, if you feel like you're having a hard time to believe, then get in the word and read the word. Get the word inside of you. Get into the word and get the word inside of you. It will transform you. Spend time in the presence of God. Practice spending time in the presence of God. Get to know, like the example of the little girl, get to know your father's voice. Because when you hear his voice, he'll speak to you and you will be able to act on what he says and you will see miracles in your life. It's incredible. It's Father's Day. We're talking about fathers. We're talking about natural father. Thank God he healed my relationship with my natural father. We're talking about the heavenly father. What did Jesus say about the father? This is kind of interesting. He talked about fathers in a verse in Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to 13. He said, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you were evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The key is just ask your Father. Ask your Father. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Knock, and the door shall be open. Seek, and you shall find. The Holy Spirit is for all of us, all who would believe. All who would believe. So I want to ask you guys this. I don't know where everyone is in the room, and I just felt like I just prepared the scriptures and was praying through these things. God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with me? I'm still developing in the ministry. I'm still learning and growing. Just want to be faithful. I just want to be faithful. He who is faithful with little will be faithful with much. If you're faithful with little, God will increase. I don't know where you guys are at, but if there's anyone here who will say, I need this, what you're talking about. I need God. I need faith in my life. I need faith to get through a very hard situation. Then I'd like to ask if you would just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Amen. Amen. So let's do this. Why don't you guys come down to the front? And we want to pray for you. Come on down. Come on down. First, I want to say, if everyone can just put your hands out like this and close your eyes. I want to invite the Holy Spirit. We invited Him in the beginning of the service, but we just want to invite the Holy Spirit because we want more of Him. Father, I thank you, God, that you are a good God. I thank you, God, that you love us. I thank you, God, that you give good gifts to your children, Lord. That you're not a God who would give something bad, like a poison or a scorpion. But you give love. You give the Holy Spirit. You give grace. You are a good God, and we bless you today. We bless you today, Lord. I thank you, God, for those who would have faith even to respond, because your word says faith without works is dead. So for those who would even respond to stand up out of their chair and come forward, we speak a blessing over them and a blessing over their life. We all need you, God, in different ways. But right now, I first want to say thank you, Lord, because even as Pastor Armin prayed earlier, that we have the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. We have the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. So just pray this prayer after me. Father God, would you fill me now? Fill me now with your Spirit. Fill me now with your love. Fill me now with your grace. Fill me now with your power.
As I sing of your love, Holy Spirit, fire burn within my soul as I call on your name. As I call on your name. As I call on your name. As I call on your name, Jesus, 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 as I call on your name.